The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Luke. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one who is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Holy God, I pray that you send your Spirit upon us, that you enliven our lives with your light, that you fill our hearts with the power of your love. Guide us into that light. Help us to know what is possible in you. Amen. Can anybody remember the last time they didn't lose something? The 8 o'clock congregation told me the problem with remembering last time they lost something was remembering. I was like, that's why I lose things, because I can't remember where I left them. But it's a fact in all of our lives, isn't it? We lose stuff. It's the five thing humans beings do. You know, we eat, we sleep, we love, we dream, we lose stuff. Right? At least that's my life. And it happens all from the very beginning, right? You know, when we're little, we lose toys, usually because your jerk little sister stole them. Mine happens to be here. Or we just put them somewhere, we don't remember where we did, or we get distracted by something new and brighter and shinier and can't find the last thing we were playing with, or we lose clothing. I don't know about you all, but those of you who have children, particularly those of you who survived the adolescence of your children, might recognize this story. I don't remember what grade it was, but I think it was sixth grade, yeah, beginning of middle school. And no, it was late. It doesn't matter. And every day during the cold weather, Robbie would come home. Robbie's my oldest, now 27 years old, so I survived it. He would come home every day without the jacket, the parka, the sweater, the hoodie, the whatever he wore to keep himself warm that day. And it was always the same reason why it didn't come home. During recess, I was out on the playground. We were playing soccer. We were playing lacrosse. We were doing something. We got hot. I hung it on the fence. And when we were done, it was gone. 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 More clothing must get stolen at King Philip Middle School than anywhere else in the entire world. And towards the very end of the school year, I said to Rob, I said, "Before the school year is over, can you go through all the lost and found boxes, tables, closets, bins, everything, and find your stuff. He said, I have, Dad, I have. It's gone. And I'm like, okay. So one day I had to go up to the school to deliver something. I don't know, permission slip we had forgotten to send to school with him, or God knows what. And I drive up, and if you know anything about King Philip Middle School, you drive up and there's a roundabout and there's glass doors. And right inside that glass doors at the end of school year, they put a table and they dump every lost and found thing on top of that table. And as I drive up, I have not gotten out of the car. I have not rolled the window down. I can see 15 articles of clothing that I purchased myself sitting at the top, the pinnacle of the table. We married him off this summer. He's somebody else's problem. She told me the other day she was going to get everything for him in red so he could find it. We lose stuff. It's what we do. As adults, we lose stuff. There is a reason I have 7 sets of keys to my office, and I usually know where at least 4 of them are. When I purchase a new car, the first thing I do is go get a bucket of keys made. So if any of you want to borrow a white Tacoma truck, ask anybody in town. Somebody's got a key. It's what we do. We lose stuff. Your wallet. Who loses their wallet on a regular basis? Really? The other 128 of you are liars. Your cell phone. I now have mine on my watch, so I won't lose it. It's amazing. And I'm convinced that the reason we lose stuff is because we are constantly moving 700 miles an hour from one thing to the next, getting distracted by the next newest and shiniest thing, the next important thing, the next crisis that isn't usually a crisis, and we just forget. It's what we do. My mother tells the story of going into Nordstrom's and then coming out to her car having been stolen, only to find out 45 minutes later the parking lot on the other side of Nordstrom's looks just like the side that she parked in. We lose stuff. And sometimes it's a no big deal. Sometimes it's just another hoodie. Sometimes it's a big deal, like your wallet. Sometimes it's a really big deal. Let me tell you a quick story, again, about Robbie. Those of you who know he's a source and wealth of sermonic or hermeneutic fodder. Okay, 2.5 years old, the summer between his second and his third birthday, Priscilla and I and Rob have gone up to Unity, Maine to the Common Ground Organic Food Fair. Ever been there? Tom, dude, it is amazing. It's been going on for years and years and years. It's the largest organic food festival, farmers market, primitive farming equipment, animals, fair. I know in the United States, and I believe possibly in one of them in the world. It is so cool. And tens of thousands of people go now every year. And little Unity, Maine goes from a population of about 200 to 20,000 for 1 week of the year. And so, it's kind of like Augusta, Georgia, the Masters, right? And so we go up, and it's just the neatest thing, and I love this stuff, and Priscilla loves this stuff, and Robbie's up for anything. And we're there, we're having a great time, and it's lunchtime, and they've got these big tents set up everywhere, like big circus tents for people and families, lots of little kids to gather under and to have lunch, and they've got food stations everywhere. And so Priscilla and Robbie are setting up a place, kind of claiming a little piece of land for us to have lunch, and I go off to get lunch. And I remember to this day what the lunch was. It was organically grown, locally sourced pork sausage. Oh! Makes me shiver just thinking about it. And so I go to get lunch, and Robbie decides about the time that we are now about 40 feet away from each other that he wants to go get lunch with me. Yanks his hand out of Priscilla's hand, goes under the tent, and is gone. I mean, 45 minutes gone. 2.5 years old. Have you met my wife? All right. So we immediately find somebody who looks like they're in authority. They got a walkie-talkie. And we are told that they are set up for this. They say, you stay right here, and we will find your child. And for 45 minutes, Priscilla goes, Bob's mother's going to kill me. Bob's mother's going to kill me. Bob's mother's going to kill me. And 45 minutes later, this lady comes up to Priscilla with Robbie kind of falling asleep on her shoulder. And she says, is this your son? And Priscilla grabs Robbie and squeezes him until his eyes almost pop out. And we go to thank this woman, and she has disappeared. We, to this day, have no idea who this person was. Never got a chance to thank her. Sometimes we lose things, and it's no big deal. Sometimes we lose things, and it's a big deal. Sometimes we lose things, and it's devastating. Actually becomes a part of your genome. That's what Jesus is talking about today. You know, we were like sheep. Sheep. God, he talks a lot about sheep. Who cares? You know, but they cared. They were important. Not like little kids are important. But they were about livelihood. They were about responsibility. They were about being. They were kind of who you were, especially if you were a shepherd. And so when one is lost, that one needs to be found. Sheep are pack animals. They gather together for protection. Okay? They have no sense of direction whatsoever. This is actually true. And that's why shepherds lead, they don't push. And so one is lost and it wanders off, and which is very uncharacteristic of a sheep. And so the shepherd leaves the 99 there to go find the one that is lost. It's not that that one's any more special than these 99. It's just they're safe in community. And that one needs my unguided, unbridled attention. You know, it's just, for the moment, that's what's important. Have you ever woken up in the morning and felt kind of unlovable? Have you ever woken up in the morning and felt even mildly unredeemable? You know, have you ever looked in the mirror and say, God, I'm getting fat. I hear people even say I'm too skinny. I'm like, I've never had that experience. You know, a teenage girl who looks in the mirror and says, I'm just not pretty enough. Or a 13-year-old boy who climbs out of the shower and goes, ugh, I'm just not strong enough. Do you ever feel just not enough? Don't fool yourselves. Every single one of us suffers from these insecurities. Even those of us with these mighty, great, big egos. Maybe that's why. Because we suffer from insecurity. But like that sheep, that one ridiculous, idiotic, absent-minded sheep who has wandered off when he should know better, when we find ourselves in those places of being lost, separated from community, separated from those we love, either physically, emotionally, culturally, however, you can be rest assured that you are God's priority. That's what Jesus tells us. That's what Jesus tells us. That each and every one of us is just as important as the other. That each and every one of us, no matter how unlovable or how unredeemable we may perceive ourselves to be, is equally and unendingly loved by our Creator. Not because you're pretty, not because you're strong, not because you're smart, not because you're whatever's really important to you, simply because you are. simply because you are. And this was a huge problem for the Pharisees and the scribes. They believed in God's love. They believed in redemption. They just believed in their rules. God's love, God's redemption, God's forgiveness was for the people that they felt deserved it. I know I can be like that. I'm just like, you know, Rabbi Kushner years ago wrote the book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. I want to see the book, Why Good Things Happen to Bad People. To me, that's a much more cosmic question. But what Jesus is telling us is that is the wrong question. That is the wrong question. In fact, there should be no question at all. Jesus ate with those tax collectors and sinners. Woo. I would eat alone the rest of my life if that wasn't the case, that was okay. Jesus tells the Pharisees, and Jesus tells the scribes, he tells the leadership of the local community, he tells the leadership of the church, you may have your rules, but no, you're wrong. My love is for everyone. Equally offered, equally given. And that's the cool thing about the love of God. It is universal, yet it's personal. It's communal, yet it's individual. It's for you, but it's even for me. Wow. If that reality sinks into your heart and into your head, we will all be different people. Amen.